Ecclesiastes chapter 3, very common portion of Scripture, and this particular portion maybe not exactly revealing what we're going to talk about tonight, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this covers just about everything. In verse number 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." And then this verse I'll read for you, and you listen to it. Proverbs 17:22 says this, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." We'll read that one more time. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the medicine that it is, Lord, the healing that it brings in our life. Lord, thank you for the instruction it gives. Thank you for appointing to us, Lord, this blessing of time. Sometimes, Lord, we do see it as going by too fast. And Lord, it does go by so fast. And Lord, sometimes we get distracted by it or burdened down with it. But Lord, we look forward to that time when we will be with you as a heavenly family. Lord, looking forward to being with you for all eternity. Help us to take some encouragement from tonight and Lord, learn some lessons and apply them to our life this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, last week I was up here and we talked about Mr. Paul and the septic tank and all that. If you missed that, it was fun. We had a good time together talking about Paul. Now, in that message, I took three chapters of Paul's life, and we went through and found the different things Paul was willing to do. Now, tonight is not going to be along that. In fact, this is going to go pretty much the opposite direction, all right? This is going to be for us as a church family, for me as a father, and for you as a mother, or you as a young man or a young lady who's not married yet. But every kid in the room, this is going to be a sermon for you. Every child in here, everybody who has a family. And guess what? We all have a family, all right? And you know what? Even if you don't, even if all of your family, maybe your immediate family is this way, that way, or somewhere else, we have a church family that many of these things will apply to. And it's going to be an interesting thing. So here's the title of the message, and Brother Klein does not have to type this into the church website, but this is what I've titled it, okay? The Cure for Crabby Couples and Cranky Kids. All right? The cure, because the Bible says right there in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Now, a week ago on Wednesday, I was sicker than I am right now. All right? And many of you have experienced sickness in the past several weeks. And during that sickness, you probably wished that there was an immediate cure for whatever you had, okay? And there is. Sometimes rest is a good cure. You know, medicine always helps, amen? Well, it doesn't always, but sometimes it does. There's a lot of things that we do to cure things, all right, or to fix things, or to maybe ease our suffering, okay, or ease our, getting better, and God created us in that way. But here, the Bible, I've always loved this verse, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." The opposite is also true, "But a broken spirit drieth the bones," all right? And that does not sound fun, having dried up bones, okay? That's an internal thing, all right? That's not something you can rub lotion on. All right, that is an inside problem. And so is the merry heart. It is an inside product. And so what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, we're going to talk about something that hopefully will be done this week. If not, I'm actually preaching next week, so you may not want to come back. We'll find out. All right? But hopefully you do, okay? If anything, I do have something for you next week that's related to our message. I will have something for you. Here's the thing. In our families, every day, we come across people who don't have a merry heart. They don't have a merry heart. Maybe it's because of their lack of salvation. Maybe it's because they don't know Jesus as your Savior. And of course, that's where you should start. But let's just apply this to us as Christians, as the family of God. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. You ever seen families that just, they're not happy? The family's not happy. Dad's not happy. Mom's not happy. Somebody in that house isn't happy. And sometimes that's an individual thing because we can only fix ourselves. What is this cure he's talking about? Well, it's a merry heart. And then also here in Proverbs or in Ecclesiastes, he gives a bunch of times for different things. And I love the one that says it's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Now, I wish I was funnier than I am. All right. Doesn't everybody wish sometimes? All right. I'm not funny, I don't think. You all at least laugh at me. All right. But you know what? The truth is there is a time to laugh. And there's a time to enjoy that. I appreciate watching those guys who get up on a stage and they're comedians and in clean funny. By the way, you don't have to be weird about it or dirty. The world's version of funny is just most of the time not. All right. But I appreciate somebody who's genuinely funny. And there are people, Brother Jay Reed is a funny guy. And whenever he preaches up here, all right. And I remember, you know, and there's pastors, there's preachers, you know, in school chapel this today, we had Brother McIntyre from Montezuma, Indiana. He's a great joy to have in school chapel. And maybe the kids don't always get the humor, all right. But teachers, we're loving it, all right. But the truth is, listen, as a church family, we have times where we get together and we laugh. We enjoy the time. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, and I'm going to preach on this matter of your family and fun. Family fun. Family fun. You say, Brother Young, why would you preach a whole message on family fun? Not because I'm an expert, not because I'm the best, funnest, funniest guy in the world, not because my advice is worth a hill of beans in some areas. But God is pretty clear on some reasons, and let me just give you four reasons I was coming up with. Why I would preach a message like this, why I think it's important, why the Lord honestly wanted me to think it's important, and that's kind of what matters, all right? Well, listen, number one, families need to be stronger and closer today than ever before. They do, all right? Families, we need to have a time of fun together, or honestly, we're talking about more than fun. I hope that using the word fun doesn't demote it or make it, we're talking about a happy home here. We're talking about a merry heart in your family. Your family's merry heart is very important to the rest of the world. Hey, listen, families need to be stronger. The devil wants to destroy the happiness in your home, all right? And he's come up with a lot of subtle ways to do that nowadays. And in your home, he may have already done that. He does that successfully across the world. Go to most family Christmases and you'll find a grouch, all right? You will. Go to most family Christmases and you won't want to stay very long, all right? Especially if you weren't part of the family. You're kind of scratching your head saying, how do these people even, you know, love each other, all right? Because the truth is, many times, our world is full of that selfishness, and the devil has done a really good job, not just in the world, but also in our Christian homes, at destroying this unity that we have as a family. Number two, God created a beautiful and fun world. I love God's sense of humor. Read the Bible with a sense of humor, all right? Walk around, though, and enjoy what God's given us. Number three, I don't think families are having as much fun as they could be, all right? I'm kind of the guy I'm going to push you towards, hey, some encouragement of, hey, you know what? The Christian life is fun. We could have just titled it that tonight, all right? And then also, you know what? This is something I'm passionate about. I enjoy it, all right? I was the oldest of seven kids, and Mom and Dad, everybody's got a different upbringing. You've got a different story than I do. You have a different family background than I do. You listen, you're different people, right? We're all different. We all have a different personality. But the truth is, as a Christian, some things ought to start lining up, and our testimony ought to be right in this matter of, you know what? We ought to appear happy. We ought to appear happy. We shouldn't just appear happy. We ought to be happy. All right, there ought to be something different in you that the world sees. So I'm gonna throw some things out at you and read some scripture. And you know what? Listen, you might say, Brother Young, I mean, you know, is everything supposed to be fun? Okay, you met those people, right? The ones who are everything in life is fun. Okay, the Bible does say that there is a time for everything. Okay, there is a time for the guy who's always joking to not say anything. All right, there is a time for the guy who's laughing to stop laughing and let's weep with those who are weep and mourn for those who mourn and comfort those who need comforted. But the truth is, some of the happiest people in the world know that balance. And if you really ask them, they can find, I like the word joy. They can find the joy in everything. So before we get into all that, you can find, you might not be able to find, I don't want you to misunderstand this, young people, you can't always find fun in every situation. You can't find fun in every situation. But you know what? Joy can always be there. Joy can always be there. In fact, the best joy is mixed with some grief. And the best joy and joyful times in a family are when there's heartache and when there's that other things that bring you closer together. But the truth is, so young people, don't misunderstand that when I say, oh, let's have fun and family fun and have a fun time, I think we use that. That word fun is more of a lighthearted word. A lot of times what we're talking about as a Christian, we ought to have joy. So let's just get that out of the way. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And so that word joy ought to be a key part in a Christian's life. We can find joy in many things, even in heartache. And so I just want you to know that going into it. I'm not diminishing the serious times of life. But let's shove those two aside for a second and think about our families and this matter of family fun, okay? So what is family fun? What is family fun? Well, number one, it's encouraged by God. Family fun, having a joyful time as a family, is encouraged by God. Think about it. God wants His children to be happy. Aren't you glad about that? All right. You're His child. You know, I love those. He loves me like I was His only child. Okay. And then Jesus gave that illustration of a man who gives good gifts to his son and how he wouldn't give him a snake. He'd give him a fish. All right. You know what that is? That gift is given because He wants His child to enjoy the gift He's given. Whatever it is, He wants, if you, for lack of a better term, He wants that child to be happy and to have some fun with that gift, or to use that, or at least be happy about it, be thankful for it. And so happiness, this family fun thing, is encouraged by God. That's why He wrote that verse, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The cure for crabby couples is this matter of a merry heart. The cure for your cranky kids is this matter of a merry heart. Now there's a whole, you could preach separate sermons on some of this stuff. And we're just kind of hitting it, all right? You could have a whole, there is underlying things. Man, there's some stuff that no matter what I were to suggest that you might do tonight, it's not going to change your unhappy home. Because there's some things that you need a whole nother, man, you need to get in the Bible and find out what's wrong, all right? And sometimes just saying, well, a merry heart's going to fix it. Well, that's true. It is a good medicine, but sometimes there's an underlying issue that needs to be taken care of, okay? So family fun's encouraged by God. Number two, God wants you to have a home that lives in harmony and love and unity. He wants that for you. And listen, maybe you say, Brother Young, if you were to walk up on my house on any given night, what would the home sound like? Okay. Now listen, how many parents have thought of that before? Okay. I've thought of that before. I've been saying something to one of my children and gone, oh boy, what if the Morrises walked over today? All right. Oh wait, they are. They're here. I live two doors down from Pastor and Mrs. Ross now, you know. Should that change the way I behave? No, not necessarily, okay? But you know what? Do we all think of that sometimes? Yes, we do, all right? And you know what? Every once in a while, that flesh gets out of the way, and you might just, it does, it is so, but listen, you know, hey, let me just stop over here, okay, shoot a rabbit, all right? All of you parents who have no more little kids anymore that are five and under, five kids, five and under, all right? Be a little bit nice to me, okay? All right? There's days you walk by a house with a lot of little kids, you know what it sounds like? A war zone, all right? And it's not because I'm yelling and being crazy, although I'm sure there's days, all right? But if I walk home and my wife is, you know, in sergeant mode, okay, I'm not going to be too hard on her, all right? In fact, actually, I'm going to come in and hopefully, dads, we come in and kind of take mama's back a little bit there and see what we can do to help things get back in order. All right. That's how you have a, what are we talking about? Having a happy home. Listen though, there's a difference in maybe some days of crazy or, you know, chaos or emergencies happening or, you know what, little kids. Training little kids is interesting. And what you have to hear when you go up to knock on that door on Saturday, okay? Because what you hear when you knock on the door on Saturday sometimes is not a home of love. And there's not words of love being said. Hey, listen, when I find places like that, man, my goal, we'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, some of this idea as a Christian is to take that same happiness and joy. And listen, it's important that you have it in your home so that the world knows it's possible. The world needs to know it's possible. And too many times now we have grouchy kids, the cranky kids, through the store. Listen, if your kids are cranky in the store and whining about the toy that they want, that's not a good testimony to the world. They need to know that it's possible for me to walk into the store with a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and not one of them throw a fit. Yes, sir. And the only reason that's going to happen is a separate lesson, but the way I discipline and help lead my home is important. Dads, you ought to try it sometime. Take your kids to the store. Okay? All right? Maybe you let her do it all the time. Do it. All right? Do it once or twice, and you'll notice some problems, or maybe you'll be able to shore up and be appreciative of your wife and what she does, all right? But you should try it sometime, okay? Rabbit trail, here we go. Family fun is encouraged by God. Hey, listen, number two, ready? Family fun is work. Family fun is work. No, literally, work in your family can be fun. Sorry, guys, all right? They know that, all right? I think our church knows that. I think these young people know that. Good job, parents. Good job, grandparents. I grew up in a bigger church than this, okay? I went to church with some young men who did not think work was fun. You've met them before, right? The young man who's spoiled, doesn't want to work, doesn't want to get up. Anytime dad says, take out the trash, I mean, maybe your house isn't that way, and that's a good thing, all right? If your kids think work is fun, now, listen, all kids have times. We all do, okay? In fact, all of us have times where work isn't all that fun, all right? But you're thinking of it the wrong way. Remember that joy thing versus fun, okay? I may not have fun doing certain tasks, but there is joy to be found in doing it, okay? So literally, we're, you know, cleaning your house, raking the leaves, this can all be done as a family, and it's fun. All right? You say, Brother Young, did I grow up thinking that was fun all the time? No, but you know what? Listen, my mom and dad worked very hard at training me and raising me to enjoy doing that stuff with them and doing that stuff around the house. You know what? Dad raised us. My brothers and I ran a lawn mowing business, okay? We had to do it with dad, and every once in a while, actually, you know, you get a little bit of sense of freedom when you don't have to do it with dad anymore, right? And those were definitely fun times, okay? But you know what? Truthfully, work is fun. Work was fun. And it should still be fun. And you know what? We're raising a generation. Be careful. Just this is the admonition, okay? Be careful that you're not raising your home here in the church of the Lord to not like the work, all right? To not enjoy this. It should be fun. Hey, listen, but on the other side of that, I said family fun is work. Think of it this way too, though, parents. Family fun and this happiness does take work to maintain. It takes work to maintain. It's not just that work is fun. You actually have to work just to enjoy fun at home. Otherwise, all you're doing is getting up, going to bed, getting up, going to bed, getting up, going to bed, and working. Hey, listen, you know what? You're going to raise your kids, and in 18 years, they're going to have had a pretty... Listen, I'm not saying everybody's family situation is different. Everybody's family, everybody's time of life is different. But none of us live in Victorian England where our 8-year-olds are in the coal mine, okay? All right, or whatever, all right? None of you kids have it that bad, okay? The truth is, and I am for the work part of it, but parents, we do need to make sure that we are still working to make sure that our homes are a place of happiness and love, and having fun. And what I'm talking about is you've got to plan stuff, okay? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what? Might. Hey, man, you got to work at it. It's not easy keeping a happy home. You know, mamas, this is a lot on you, you know? Moms are there all day, all right? Especially if you're a stay-at-home mom, if that's your part of life, you're raising those little kids. You know, kids don't need a whole lot to have fun. They don't, all right? And the truth is, even though I'm saying it's work, it's not as bad as all that, okay? Kids just, they enjoy, it's probably more work trying to get them to work than it is to have fun. They always want to have fun, all right? They're always looking for ways not to work, all right? But the truth is, in the large scope of things, especially us dads, we need to step back and take a look at our house and you know what, and our schedule and our year and just say, you know what? What am I doing to keep my family? What are we doing to make sure that we're a happy home? What are we doing to make sure that this is, you know what, that's going to take some planning. It's going to take some work. And we can't just ignore it. We can't just ignore it. Because the truth is, we'll wake up one day and we've ignored it so long that we've got some miserable kids. Or miserable. Your wife. Gentlemen, this isn't just about our kids. Parents, this isn't just about kids. This is about us together, all right, as a family. And if we ignore that, you know, that's kind of why we do that as a church family. Let's take it here for a second. Why do we have after-church fellowships? You know why we do that? It's fun, all right? And if you haven't shown up to one of those, you're the miserable grouch at the family dinner, all right? That's just the truth of it, all right? You're not being part of the family fun time that's been planned. And you know what? Even it's what's worse is it, not just the after church fellowships. I'm not, if you're here tonight and you're one of those people, then that's between you and God, and He might just be convicting you right now. Okay? But the truth is, do you even have fun at church? Church is fun, and that's on the list, right? You know, but the truth is, are you coming and enjoying what is here, or are you just existing? Are you just kind of here? All right? Boy, that's a miserable way to live, all right? Family fun is work. It takes work. Hey, listen, number three, this one's important. Family fun is ministry. Family fun is ministry. Hey, listen, the ministry isn't boring. It's not. Serve the Lord together. Again, I think this church is one of the best I have ever seen at this, but the reason we have to preach it, the reason we have to keep saying it is, it's real easy to let slide. It's real easy to let slip. All it takes is you, Dad, accidentally not emphasizing the ministry and the work of the church and being here and serving, and all of a sudden, your whole section of kids just lost that fire. They lost that zeal. And Dad didn't think it was all that important to go to the workday, so you know what? I'm not going to the workday. Dad didn't think it was all that important to work on the bus route, so now I'm not going on the bus route. And you might not see it, and that's the problem. This is the challenge for me. We have to, parents, we have to challenge ourselves now as young people, as people raising. I want to make sure I'm lined up on this when my kid is 5 and 4 and 3 and 2, because I need to make sure constantly I'm redoing that and making sure I'm on the level on this when he's 15 and 14 and 13 and when he's 25 and so on, right? Because you know what? And I'll tell you this, my parents, I mean, I could stop and just say, thank the Lord for mom and dad. And you ought to too, and maybe your situation is different, but you know what? My parents raised 7 children who all were taught from a young age that the number one thing is serving the Lord. It's serving the Lord. And they're all still serving the Lord today. I have a sister over in Africa, and you know what she's doing? Serving the Lord. All right. I got a sister down in North Carolina going to Thailand. You know what she's doing? Serving the Lord. I've got a brother who's snowed in at a camp somewhere in Kentucky. You know what he's doing? Serving the Lord. All right. And they're all on the bus route. And, you know, and we can get into all of that stuff and we can count fingers and we can, you know, praise ourselves. That's not what this is about. This is about serving the Lord. But you know why? My parents made the ministry fun. They made it fun. They had fun while doing it. Were there days of not very much fun? Of course. Were there days of sadness? Yes. Was there days where honestly, mom or dad or both, okay? And I will just tell you, there's always a parent who's maybe a little bit more, all right? That's just how it goes. You got to know your personality. Maybe you are more prone to, I don't want to go to church tonight. Well, if that's you, you better watch that, all right? You know yourself. You know your personality. And the truth is, listen, in a husband-wife relationship and kids, probably if you're not careful, you'll listen to mom and dad and you'll know who it is between mom and dad who you can go to and complain about it, all right? And parents, we got to watch that because kids, young people, teenagers are not stupid. They're smart. They know how this works. And the older your kids get, guess what? Little junior's going to go to older junior, all right? and they're going to complain about stuff. You know what that is? Hey, listen, make sure we're staying on top of making the ministry fun, serving the Lord together. Hey, parents, we shouldn't make the ministry extra or something we have to do. We've got to be careful about that, verbalizing that, all right? Our families need to enjoy serving Jesus, or else who's going to want to serve a boring, okay? You know why? You know why many of the world go to certain churches and they don't want to ever buy in, or they don't ever get saved, honestly, is because they go and everything's boring, all right? Not just the events. I mean, people try, but the people at the church family are boring, all right? They're not having any fun. They're just showing up, okay? And if that's the case, if that ever happens at Blessed Hope, then we're going to start dying. If that happens on your bus route, you'll start dying. And that happens on bus routes. Guess what? We get tired. Okay? It happens in everything. Happens on my mission field. Happens whatever I do. If I just kind of coast for a little bit too long and I don't rev things up, it happens at school. All right? You say, Brother Young, why do you always have these things going on? Why is it the pace race right now? You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to keep it exciting. All right? I'm trying to keep that. You know what? If the kids just come in all year and all we do is sit down, do your paces, do this. Sit down, do your paces, do this. Man, that's not very exciting. All right? But you know what? I try to make the regular exciting as well. All right? You come in. You know what the joy of being a teacher is? Man, the joy of being, a parent, you're a teacher too. And that joy of parenting and teaching and leading is making that thing, even if it's simple, even if it's mundane, making it enjoyable. Boy, finding the joy in that. All right? So family fun. Family fun's encouraged by God. It takes work. It's your ministry. Boy, let's put it on this direction though too. Family fun can be a ministry. What I mean by this is you personally, okay? Whether you're a brother or a sister, a mom and dad, you can have the ministry of making someone else's life more enjoyable. You can have that as a ministry. You see, sometimes I know that the number one way we make people's life better is by knocking on the door and telling them about Jesus. That's the number one thing. But the truth is, we shouldn't leave it up to just the world to entertain and be joyful. We shouldn't. Man, some of the funniest people I know was a Sunday school teacher who could get a puppet up and do something like that. You know what she was trying to do, or he was trying to do? They're trying to make this more enjoyable for that kid right there so that they'll grab onto this and they'll go, you know what, Mrs. So-and-so, she's always happy. And listen, that could probably be the best thing that they could say about you as a Sunday school teacher is, that lady loves me because she's always joyful. She's always happy. She's always telling me that. You can show it. Hey, listen, you know what? In your family, you can be that person, okay? You can be the joyful member of the family. You don't have to be the grouch at the Thanksgiving dinner. You can be the other person, right? The one who always goes up and says, you know what? How's everything going today? All right? And maybe some of that's personality, but the truth is, you can have kind of a different ministry. Maybe your personality's not that way, but you can still target individual people. You know, there's people that are never going to really attach to that joyful, bubbly person, all right? But they need some encouragement too, and they need some love too, and they need somebody to stop here at church. They need somebody to come sit down beside them before church starts and say, how's everything going? How's life? What can I pray for you for? You know what that is? That's the ministry. That's a ministry to that person. You say, that doesn't always sound fun, but the truth is, you're bringing that medicine, that merry heart, you're bringing that to that person. And you know what? Merry heart's not always bubbly and crazy. Merry heart's just sometimes walking around with that joy of Jesus saying, you know what? Life's good, pretty good, isn't it? You know, hey, you know what? Jesus is good, isn't it? Maybe just going up and saying, let me tell you something neat that happened, you know? Maybe asking that person, hey, what happened in your life this week? What was it that God did for you? And so you know what I want you to know? Listen, family fun is a ministry in your own home. Hey, teenage boys, you can have a ministry. I was the oldest of 7 kids. You know what part of my responsibility, if you will, as the oldest of children? I really enjoyed causing fun for my little brothers and sisters. And heartache, all right? And suffering, and all that other stuff too, okay? Because I'm the oldest, all right? I'm in charge. Don't, mom left, I'm in charge, okay? That's how it works, all right? But James knows we had a lot of fun with our brothers, and part of our fun was just us having fun, like locking Caleb in the shed and, you know, till he screamed his guts out, and forgetting there was a glass window there, so he broke the glass window so he could open it. All right, and then mom and dad come home, find a broken glass window, and two of us who got in trouble for doing that, okay? That's fun, all right? That's what boys do for fun, okay? Fun is, I remember the other, I don't know, this was, it seems like just yesterday, but you know what? Life is fun, isn't it? It is. And you know what? Kids do some stupid stuff for fun, okay? But the truth is, I enjoyed having a ministry of helping my little brother and sister enjoy their growing up years. And that was part of my thing as an older brother. Now, maybe everybody's situation's here different. Maybe you're a single child. Maybe you didn't, you know, whatever the situation is. I don't know your background. But hey, you who have little brothers and sisters, why not, instead of ignoring them and saying, forget it, why not realize that you are a huge part of their life and you make sure that you're being a good example, okay? Go out and work hard. Be a good leader. Be a good example. But you know what? Every once in a while, go over there and enjoy having fun with that little kid. I think we all need to go find a little kid somewhere and enjoy being with that child. Children have so much fun. They have so much joy in life, all right? They see things differently than we do. And if it's been a while, then you need to find some. And we have plenty of little young people around here that you can be a part of their life in some way, okay? Now, we're not going to get through the rest of it. But the truth is, there's a lot of things that we can, there's a lot of practical stuff. That's introduction. All right, we're not going to preach. You say, Brother Young, are you going to preach? Yeah, this is part one, all right? Part two is next week, okay? Part two is going to be fun, all right? And the truth is, I enjoy life. I really do. I hope you will too. But listen, here's what I want you to think about going through this week, okay? Our families do need to start thinking about ways that, listen, hey, parents, moms, and dads, how close are you with your kid? How close are you with your children? Are you raising them up to be a happy home, all right? Is your home happy? Does it sound happy? Okay, God created the world that we live in, and I know the world is rotten, the sin in it, but you know what? It's His. He created the world, and there's a lot to be enjoyed in that. Solomon, if you read through Ecclesiastes, it's kind of a depressing book, but one of the things he has down is he said, you know what? Here's all the things you can do. You can go out and party and eat and all that, and you know what? He knew there was a place and time for that. But the truth of the matter is, are we serving God with our life? Hey, listen, your home should be a place of happiness and joy. It's encouraged by God. It's going to take some work to do it. It's going to take work, all right? The older they get, the more work it might take. The harder life gets, the more work it's going to take. You know what? The harder days that there are, the more you're going to have to work to, you know what, stop. And that those songs... Preacher was talking about it Sunday night, singing. Boy, singing is such a good thing. Count your many blessings. You're going to have to work at that. Hey, listen, what about your ministry? Is your ministry fun? Is your ministry fun? Is your Sunday school class fun? What can you do this week? What could you do this week in January to make your Sunday school class something that the kids would walk in and go, man, I love being in so-and-so's class. That was so much fun. Now, the truth is, I want them to get more out of church than just fun. But I also want them to come to church because it's fun. It's fun serving the Lord. And I want them to look forward to it. Why do we have Gospel Ship Sunday? And why do we have little boys dressing up with pirate costumes for like the next 6 weeks after Gospel Ship Sunday? All right, you know what that is? I'll never go up to that kid and say, you shouldn't do that. He's having a blast. He's having fun. And I love that. And then, hey, how about your family? Let me just say this last one. Family fun is fun. It is fun, okay? If you're excited, they'll be excited too, all right? My mom had that philosophy. If she was going to be excited about it, her teenage boys probably wouldn't be, all right? But the truth is, we knew. We actually enjoyed it, okay? Teenage boys go through that time too. I'm sure they do. And they shouldn't, all right? I should have enjoyed some of the things that mom was excited about a lot more than I ended up doing. But the truth is, now, especially looking back, I'm so thankful for my mom's attitude towards that. She had a great time, okay? If you're excited, dads, if you're excited about something, your kids are going to be excited about that thing. They really will be, All right? So it's also important to be excited about the right things. Okay? Dad, get excited about something outside of maybe your comfort zone for the sake of your family and being happy. You know what? Mom, introduce some new things to your kids at home. Those are just some ideas to start thinking about. Go home and introduce some new things. Moms are the front line of that. Your little junior at home, you know, instead of just wake up, hand them a tablet or a TV and go on with life, you're going to have to work at that. You got to introduce some things to that child that's going to help them become a better young man, young lady for the Lord someday. And hey, listen, kids, be excited that your parents love you, take you anywhere, all right, or do anything for you, okay? Do you deserve all of that? No, all right? The way you act, the way that we might walk up and hear you, okay? Do you, you know what? Listen, but mom and dad love you, and they take care of you, and they watch over you. You know what? Be excited. I think all of us would say this. Anytime dad would have taken time or did take time for me, it meant something. Anytime mom and dad would take time for me, it meant something. And you know what? As a young person growing up, sometimes it doesn't mean anything because you're not thinking of it that way. But the truth is, listen, be thankful for what your mom and dad have given you. Or anytime they do something with you, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Hey, listen, we need to have homes that are happy and that are fun. All right. Part two is practical. Part two is a shotgun method. And I'm going to give you something. I'm going to hand you something next week that I think you'll enjoy, that you can take with you, that you can keep, that you can check off, some things that you can do. How many of you are looking forward to this year? I'm looking forward to this year. All right, I really am. And if on your calendar there's not some things on there that would be enjoyable for your family, we need to get some of those. But you know what? Some of them are already on the calendar. They're our church calendar. And they're fun. The ministry is fun. It's exciting to serve the Lord. Hey, let's go. Let's take that, just that one thought. And tonight when you're praying, let's pray for the young people who will ride that bus, that they would hear the message of salvation and think, man, wouldn't that be neat to know Jesus? And that young man or lady might get saved this week if we'll pray for them tonight. And that young man or young lady, maybe they're saved already, but you know what? They haven't bought into this idea that the Christian life is something worth living. Let's pray for them tonight as well. And that, you know what? There'd be somebody walking in church on Sunday who says, you know what? The Christian life sure looks fun. I'd like to get in on that a little bit more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your message tonight. Lord, thank you so much for the times of life. Lord, there are many different things, days that come and go, and things that are sometimes more serious than others. But Lord, I thank you so much for the joy that can come from serving you. Help us all to be focused on you this week. Put you first, Jesus, and then others second, and then ourselves last. And help us to have happy homes. That would be, Lord, homes that are focused on this idea of, Lord, shoring up a happiness, a home that's happy, a good testimony to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray.